And so often during Advent, our scripture comes from the book of Isaiah this morning, Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towers of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. May God add a blessing to this word.
They will know the waiting for a king, ruling in might, waiting for a king to shine in our night. Will the world be ready when he comes to stay? Waiting for a king. Will this be the
It was the summer of 1981, which seems to me like it just happened. But it was a long time ago. I thought it would never be over. I had just graduated from high school and taken a job working in the kitchen of a nursing home, washing pots and pans. With the industrial dishwasher putting out steam and those three large tubs filled with hot water for the pots and utensils that couldn't go into the machine, it was quite hot in there. As a matter of fact, when I first took the job, they questioned whether I could take the heat, which I suppose is always a good question to ask when someone takes a job. Can you handle the demands of this job? But they meant it literally. It was 120 or 130 degrees in there. And at that time in my life, I could handle it. I'm quite sure I couldn't now. But then it didn't bother me. But that didn't mean I liked it. As a matter of fact, I counted the days. And when finally the time came to leave that job and go off to college, I rejoiced and was glad. You may have an experience in your life that is something like that. Something that you knew was temporary, that you knew you had to endure patiently, but couldn't wait till it was over. And when the day came, you were happy. And it seemed like it would never get there. I think when our minds are drawn to the story of Israel, to any part of the story of Israel, the exile is the part that the book of Isaiah brings up. The people were in Babylon. The civilization had been destroyed, and they were waiting for the return to their homeland. Or we could go back to the Exodus and the wilderness journey that took place after they were delivered from bondage in Egypt. Because they had hesitated, their wilderness journey lasted for 40 years. They did not count the days, they counted the decades. Even Moses was left out because in his frustration he had acted arrogantly. We think of waiting in circumstances like that. My little summer of waiting seems small by comparison. But the wilderness has become a kind of metaphor for any life experience characterized by the need to endure patiently. Any hardship that could be brought about by a crisis in the world or some other circumstance brought out by issues related to health or relational conflict or financial difficulties or occupational setbacks, any number of things. And more often than not, when we find ourselves in these kind of situations, these wildernesses, we despair and long to change the circumstances, and count the days, especially if we can see an end. We would rather live in the peaceful places, the quiet meadows, the still waters of life, maybe even on the mountaintops of life, rather than in its deserts. We count the days. We long for things to change. We wait. Of course, we are thinking of the wilderness in spiritual terms and not geographic terms, and we can find a way, I think, as human beings, to move from the hot, dry places to the wonderful high places to the peaceful middle ground without changing our geographic location necessarily. We can experience all of these things while we live in the same house, go to the same job, interact with the same people day after day. But I think it is safe to say that we long for a life that we wish would never end, instead of a life in which we count the days or the decades. Part of the message of the Bible is that the wilderness is punishment for sin. Maybe it's not the only thing the Bible says about the wilderness. The wilderness is also a time of preparation. It's a journey we must go through in order to get ready. And another thing we might say about the wilderness is that it is temporary. Part of the great Advent message, the message of Christmas, is that the time has come to leave it behind. And that is what I hope you will hear this morning, and what I hope that you will hear from the message of this text in Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received double from the Lord for all her sins. Before we allow ourselves to rush ahead to the next part, which are the iconic lines that we find in the John the Baptist passages of the Gospels, we do well to stop and just listen to what has been said in those first few verses. For anybody who has ever felt like they're in the wilderness, those words are words of great relief. Maybe even great joy. But sometimes the sigh of relief to hear those words, hard service is ended. The punishment is completed. The wilderness is at its end. The time for rejoicing has come. It's like that job when I was young that I thought would never be over. The day came that was my last day. And have you ever noticed how when you've been alive for 20 or 30,000 days or however long it is, that they run together and you can't remember specific things? I remember walking out the door. It's one of those things that still goes with me. The time had come to leave behind the hot kitchen for the exciting new adventure. What good news! That's the good news of our text today. The message is, in the desert, prepare a way for the Lord. Make straight the wilderness, a highway for our God. The valleys will be lifted up. The mountains will be brought low. All the rough places smoothed over. The obstacles removed. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed and everyone will see it. The Lord has spoken. I wonder if there's a way for us to hear that deep in our spirits and not just with our ears, that message given to the people of Israel, given to us. The 40th chapter of Isaiah goes on in its way to compare human smallness and weakness and mortality with divine magnitude and majesty. We don't always understand. Sometimes when we look around, it still looks like a wilderness. Maybe the circumstances which have been a wilderness to us haven't changed that we can see. It isn't the circumstances that make it a wilderness. It's the absence of God. And the message is God is coming into it. And when God is with us, the wilderness fades. It is at Christmas, of course, that we celebrate at last the coming of God as a human being in the birth of the child Jesus. And Advent is our time of excited preparation, of getting ready because the birth is near. The glory of the Lord. Imagine the glory of the Lord in a child. We have considered these images, the wilderness journey after the Exodus, the Babylonian exile, and the return to the homeland, the long hot summer of my youth, which, as I said, seems small by comparison, but I mention it anyway because most of our wilderness journeys while we are in this life are small by comparison. But nonetheless, the wilderness is a good example. It's an illustration both of life itself as a wilderness journey. There's a sense in which what we're waiting for is heaven. But also, it is a good illustration for us of those smaller experiences that are temporary in life, but nonetheless experiences that we feel like we have to endure. They can be spiritually challenging for us. The mystery of the Christian faith is that while we have Advent and Christmas to celebrate a time of joyful expectancy, and later while we have Lent and Passion to observe a time of repentance and sorrow and sacrifice, and then after that, when we have Easter and Pentecost, and the time after Pentecost where we focus upon new life and transformation and spirit-filled living, we admit that these things are not as seasonal as our celebrations of them are. Turns out, every day is a day of tragic sorrow, and every day is a day of expectant joy. Every day is a day of repentance and forgiveness, a day of giving and receiving, a day of birth and death. We observe them over time, I think, because of our weakness. We get distracted and we forget to have joy and to have sorrow and repent. We forget that we are filled up with the Holy Spirit. We forget that we have been given new life. But we recognize that we live out these things every day, and not just according to the liturgical calendar. It may be that you feel like you're in a wilderness right now. Or it may be that you've made a life for yourself in whatever wilderness your life has given you, and you are at peace with it. Whatever the case, listen to the gospel message. Be comforted, because the time in the wilderness is over, and the journey home is now. And we encounter God's glory on the way. The long hot summer has ended, and a time for glorious rejoicing has come. The obstacles are removed, and there is no stopping God's grace now. Our load can be lightened, and we can take courage. And I would like to end the way the 40th chapter of Isaiah ends, by telling us to put our hope in the Lord. For those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, in the living out of our lives, we pray that we would hear this wonderful, wonderful part of the gospel message. That even if we are confronted by our own mistakes and our own sinfulness and our selfishness and greed, our punishment has been paid. That even if we are unable to make our way to you, the obstacles are too severe. All the high places have been made low. And the low places have been lifted up, and you are making your way to us. We pray that we would all see it. In Christ's name. Amen. Our song of dedication is number 2097 in the Faith We Sing, One Holy Night in Bethlehem. Shall we stand together? Thank you. Dear God, we are thankful for all that we have experienced to hear today. We're thankful for these people that you have called us to share these moments with, and we pray that you would send us out strengthened and encouraged by this wonderful gospel message. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.